Hello, everybody, and welcome to Vanished Chicagoland Stories, the podcast, episode 10. I am your host, Pete Castanis, and this program is sponsored by the Loop radio station in Chicago, WLUP FM 98, and here is a commercial from 1978.
I'd like to tell you about a remarkable radio station.
Get it up, Chicago. This is Steve Garland covering with the Rude Awakening on the Morning Loop.
Carry on the wayward son.
Hi, it's me, Les Tracy, with Good Rockin' on the Loop.
This is Michael's cruising through the afternoon at the Loop.
This is Rock and Roll Radio. Sky Daniels on the Loop.
You have a remarkable mouth.
We have a remarkable radio station.
Okay, everyone, we're back. I hope you enjoyed the commercial. It brings me a lot of memories when I was in high school and I listened to the radio station and watch the commercials. And I will be talking about the spokeswoman her name was Lorelei Shark. We know her as Lorelei, so I'll get to that almost at the end of the show. Right now, I'll be talking about a couple things. First, I'll be talking about a post about a few days ago that I posted on my Facebook page, and it was Dispense's Kitty Kingdom. So here we go. Read off the how the place got started. Dispense's Castle Toys opened in 1967, and it was there for quite a while. Probably ended in the mid-80s, and Kitty Kingdom Amusement Park opened in 1975, and it closed its doors for good in 1984. So I will talk about that right now, and let's see. I have the information. And a lot of people remember the Kitty Kingdom amusement park because of the commercials and, of course, the toy store. So they also remember the jingle that's stuck in your head forever. And I'll read off the jingle, and it goes like this. Kitty Kingdom goes, "Kings are king at Dispense's Kitty Kingdom, fun's the thing at Dispense's Kitty Kingdom, and then exciting rides to make you yell and holler. Any ride a quarter, six for a dollar." This eventually became five for a dollar. I don't know why. And then the last line was Dispense's Kitty Kingdom, let's go. Okay, and this was located in Oak Brook Terrace, Route 83, and let's see, yeah, Route 83. And 38, so I think that's Roosevelt Road. That's Route 83. Route 38. You get the 83 and the 38, you know, it's reversed. To tell you the truth, I've never been there. I've never been to the toy store or the amusement park, which is sad. I wish I went there, but I guess it was too far because I was in the southwest side at the time, and I don't think my mother wasn't very familiar with the area. Anyway, so I'll read off some of the rides that were there. I'll be with you in a second. And let's see. There were a couple of roller coasters, and I think there was a Tilt-A-Whirl. It must have been fun. That's one of my favorite rides, is the Tilt-A-Whirl. And let's see. Yeah, so I remember the commercials that on Bozo Circus, probably Ray Rayner, Garfield Goose, and it was fun to watch those. Let's see what else. Yeah, like I said before, there were a couple roller coasters and Tilt-A-Whirl. They had restaurants, and it was a lot of fun. Okay. And you also remember Dispense's Castle Toys. They had Toymendus. I think it was used for another company. I'm not sure. I could find out on that. Let's see. I have the list of some of the rides. You know, this is hard to find that because I have so many. There's a website that is on the internet. It's dispensescandykingdom.com, and you can find pictures, brochures, tickets. Anything, you know, it was Anything you want. And it was very reasonable at the time when people went. So they love writing that. Okay, here's a few. Let's see. Okay, there was a ride called the Trambent. That must have been fun. They had a children's theater. They had a Toy Star candy store. And another ride was called the Sky Fighter. And an auto ride where little kids rode in little cars. It was like a merry-go-round. And let's see. The Tilt-A-Whirl. They had the Tilt-A-Whirl. Every carnival had that. The helicopter ride. That was nice. When you drive by the place, you could see the signs like Dispensers and Kidding Kingdom. You can't miss it. They also had a train there. And the roller coaster. They had one roller coaster called Mike Mouse. It seemed very quaint, but it was looked like a lot of fun. They had a merry-go-round. And let's see here. I don't know what the other... they had all kinds of games there. Lots of games. The Dispensers family, they were well-known in the Chicagoland area. There is a Facebook page, I believe. No, group. That shows the Castle Toys and the Kidding Kingdom. And there's some family members on Facebook, and they do mention from time to time that every time I post something, somebody does it, and they do respond. And let's see, there's this ride called the Scrambler Whip. They had a Ferris wheel. The Scrambler, maybe I mentioned that before. Maybe, I don't think so. Rocoplane. Let's see, what else? Not much. I think, Spaceships, Ladybug. They had a ride, the Ladybug. Oh, that must have been fun. And so that's basically it for that. People still wish it would come back, but I don't think the family's involved with that. And, you know, it's hard. Now we have rides at Six Flags up at Six Flags America and Gurnee. You know, the roller coasters are fast, you know, but I don't think kids would enjoy something quaint and, you know, simple like those rides were back in the day. It's such a shame. Okay. The next thing I will talk about is Peter Pan restaurants. Recently, I posted the post on Facebook with a hot chocolate cup and a plate. Now, the how in the beginning of this hamburger chain, and the first one was opened in 1945 in the Edgewater neighborhood. The owner, who was Chris Carson. And if you're familiar with Carson Ribs, that's the man who opened it. And I think he opened the Millionaires Club restaurant, which was near, it was at Fort City at the time where I lived. And I went once, and they had you ate like a millionaire, but it was very reasonable. And they had drinks all around. I think I had my first kitty cocktail there. So on the Peter Pan restaurant, I've heard the hamburgers were awesome at the time. They were delicious. And their famous burger was the olive burger. I'm not a big olive fan. I don't care for it. And then the locations, the first location was 1133 at Bryn Mawr on the north side. And there was one on Oak Street downtown. And someone mentioned the other day there was one at Cermak and Harlem, and probably one on the north side. I forgot where, but the one that most people were familiar with was on the corner of East 71st Street and South Jeffrey Boulevard in South Shore. And when we lived there in the 60s, my mother took me there once. I don't remember it, but she knew the owners of that store very well. And the daughter of the owner, not Chris Carson, it was somebody else who managed it. My mom knew her very well. We do see her once in a while, probably at a Greek picnic. Very nice lady. And a lot of people loved the place, and they had a very good menu. And let's see, maybe I could find the menu. tell you, they had the Olive Burgers, and oh, here we go. They had Peter Pan Burger, probably their specialty. Cheeseburger, of course, the Olive Burger, Latin Burger, which is, you know, probably spicy. They get the Francese. It's like a hot dog stuff with American cheese. I don't know. They had the Dagwood Burger based on the character in Blondie. The rumor was at the time that they serve horse meat, and I don't think it was been proven. I don't know how that started, but they seem, if it was horse meat in the burgers, it probably probably tasted good, but I don't think it was, maybe it was legal at the time, but now it's not. I mean, in Italy, I heard they do that. Could be wrong. And but they claimed the meat was 100% pure beef. And they once they did that one day, they gave away 50,000 free burgers to their customers, and it worked. You know, that rumor was put to bed and never mentioned again. So it was there for until the 60s, and then they closed. And then they opened, the Carson family opened Carson's, the place for ribs. I think there's one left downtown. I went once there. Excuse me. And then it was very good. I remember they had the goose pate up front, and you helped yourself. And I never had pate in my life. It was very good. And I've had the ribs, and I also had the pork chop sandwich. Very delicious. Okay. So now, right now, I will be talking about The Loop. Now, the spokeswoman was Lorelei Shark. And you remember the commercials they used when she lip-synced through various DJs and music. And that was so memorable. And Lorelei, I'll read a little bit about her. Her biography, she was a model. She did pose for Playboy. And also appeared, Hugh Hefner hosted a show called Playboy After Dark. I remember it was on Channel 32, late at night. And she was chosen to be the spokesmodel for The Loop, which was on 97.9. And her popularity took off, and you saw her picture of billboards, maybe flyers, posters on record stores. She was a very local celebrity. She was not from Chicago. She was from Los Angeles, I believe. And let's see what else. She appeared in a few TV shows. And because she was not a very tall woman, she was 5'5", very short. And of course, the one thing that a lot of people remember her, one thing, she was hired to be the famous biting lips of the 1975 movie The Rocky Horror Picture Show. And you saw her lips on movie posters, which I never knew, because I've seen the movie maybe once or twice. I never noticed that. And then in 1979, they had the disco demolition at Comiskey Park for the White Sox. Tell you the truth, I had no idea about this because at the time I was in Greece with my family, and I was a sophomore that year at Bogan High School, and my brother told me he received a letter from his friend in Chicago. It was sent to us in Greece, and they told him about disco demolition. My brother had no idea. I had no clue. When we returned in Chicago in late August, everyone in the neighborhood welcomed back with open arms, and they told us about it. And I go, I had no clue. And then when I returned to high school, they mentioned it. And there were a lot of kids in my class that attended it. And they told me their experience of it. It was nuts. It was chaotic. And they had a doubleheader. I mean, the White Sox had a doubleheader, and then when Steve Dahl, at the radio, who got fired from there, orchestrated it. I'm sure he had part of it. And Lorelei was right there, and the crowd went crazy. Maybe they went maybe they went crazy because they saw Lorelei, could be with Steve Vai or both. And they started to blow up all the disco records. And then once they did that, the crowd went crazy, and then a riot broke out, and they threw beer cans all over the place. And they had to take Lorelei away because they don't want her to be injured. And they had a National Guard there, which I never heard that. I've read somewhere she was very distraught about it. It was scary for her. Maybe she, to this day, she's probably brings her up bad memories. That was a crazy time. It was a crazy time. When it happened, the riot happened at Comiskey Park, they canceled the game. They really did. Let's see. So the first game went ahead, but the second game was canceled. I don't know what happened, but it was the first time that they canceled a game, and it was a non-weather related issue. And that day was called the day disco died. So I think they had a documentary on Channel 11. I watched it. It was pretty good. There was a book out by Steve Dahl. He talked about his experiences, which you can still listen to him on his podcast. I've listened to it coming. He still sounds the same. He doesn't talk about much about the disco demolition, but a lot of people blame him for the destruction. I don't know about that. That was terrible. That was terrible. Lorelei now lives in Los Angeles, she doesn't give many interviews, but she is on Facebook, and you can make friends with her, which was interesting. She looks a little older, mature, and she looks very nice. I think she's involved with some other, let's see, so she's not in business. She has her own business. That's about it. That must have been interesting, very interesting. Okay. So I hope you enjoyed me covering those three topics: Dispense's Kitty Kingdom, the Peter Pan restaurants, and about Lorelei. Her last name is Shark. One more thing. I remember when Lorelei appeared on TV, she had the famous loop shirt, the dark t-shirt. I bought one too, and a lot of kids did. So the loop at the time played some awesome music, hard rock. Van Halen, Led Zeppelin, Cheap Trick. The first time there was a band called The Cars, and they had their debut album, self-titled. And I've mentioned this many times on my Facebook page. That is my favorite all-time album. I love that album. I never get tired of listening to it with Rick Ocasek. And then they had a follow-up with Candio. And I love that one well. So The Cars was great. And when they played one of their songs, mostly they play almost all the songs on their album. It was wonderful. And when they play it, then you hear, once the song is done playing, I hear like a dead silence for just a few seconds, and then the DJ would come on, and there was, I think it was Patty Hayes, I remember her, it was Mitch Michaels, all the wonderful men, wonderful DJs. I don't know about where Patty Hayes is, but I love her voice. It was iconic. Okay, so that's all for now, this will be a wrap. I will be back with you someday, maybe this week, for episode 11. And I hope everyone have a good day. This is the Vanish Chicagoland Stories podcast. I'm your host, Pete Castanis, and I hope to join with me very soon. Thank you very much, and take care, and bye-bye for now.